From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Hugo Black, Harold Burton, Tom Clark, William O. Douglas, Felix Frankfurter,
Robert Jackson, Sherman Minton, Stanley Reed, Earl Warren.
50 years ago today, these 9 men, justices of the United States Supreme Court, announced their decision in the cases known as Brown v. Board of Education of Topeka.
A half century later, their condemnation of separate schools for black and white children is seen as a turning point in the nation's history. In the field of public education, they wrote, the doctrine of separate but equal has no place. Separate educational facilities are inherently unequal.
Those words mark the beginning of a long struggle, a struggle that continues today, to live up to the promise of equal access to education for all Americans. Throughout this year, we've aired stories examining the legacy and the unfinished work of Brown v. Board.
Today, we turn back to the America of 1954. Then, as now, many people weren't on familiar terms with the names of their Supreme Court justices, but they did know the name of their president. And in the days and weeks after May 17, 1954, Americans by the hundreds picked up pencils or pens or sat down at typewriters to tell Dwight D. Eisenhower what they thought.
Of course, few, if any, of those letters were ever seen by the president. Most were filed away along with the millions of other papers a presidency accumulates. Today, the letters are at the Eisenhower Library in Abilene, Kansas. Here, read by actors, are excerpts from a few of them. A warning, some of the language is pretty rough.
May 26, 1954. My dear Mr. President, we have always been admirers of yours and naturally voted for you. But when you revealed your tendency toward no segregation, well, we just couldn't believe it. Of course, we believe in equal rights. Educate the Negroes, give them advantages, but by all means keep them to themselves. How would you like your lovely little granddaughter to marry a Negro and bring little colored babies home to you? That's exactly what will happen if no segregation is allowed to stand. Thank you for your kind attention, and with very best wishes to you and your charming wife, I am sincerely Miss Anne H. Grinham, Coral Gables, Florida.
President Eisenhower, no animal-like niggers are going to sit with my children in Newark, New Jersey. All we have is rape, muggings, murder from these blacks. They don't understand decency. We must have segregation for these dogs. John Ballantyne, Newark, New Jersey.
Dear Mr. President, I am an American Negro woman. I now feel like a first-class citizen for the first time in my life. I want to thank you for helping my people. May God bless you and keep you always to do good. I am very truly yours, Beulah Bryant, Lewiston, Maine.
May 22, 1954. Dear President Eisenhower, the American people are growing up. When I read of the United States Supreme Court ruling of segregation as unconstitutional, I was truly proud to be an American living in a nation where men are not afraid to strive for justice and decency. It is thrilling to know that there are some people who carry over Sunday's sermon into Monday's living. I should like to say that I am going to be an elementary school teacher within the next year, and I shall be happy, yes, proud, to stand before a non-segregated class. Most sincerely, June Rice, Gainesville, Florida.
Mr. Eisenhower, I was born and raised in the South and I'm proud of it. I don't approve of this segregation ruling. I have a daughter starting to school in September. I'm asking you to please do something about it. You should know how dirty and low-down Negroes are. Please help us in the South and don't let it be with a racial war. Sincerely, Mrs. Ruth B. Moody, Memphis 8, Tennessee.
Dear Mr. President, yesterday I took a large part of my family, which is white, for a picnic and to the zoo. We had our lunch with us, but found every table filled with niggers, and no table for white folks. We had to sit on the ground in the woods to eat. After lunch, I sat on a bench to rest, but lo and behold, 3 nigger gals stopped and asked me if I would share my seat with them, and I told them to take the whole darn bench, got up and walked off. I gave up my seat that time, but the next time I'll refuse to get up. No seat on a bench is big enough for a nigger and me. I'm 69 years old and nearly blind, cataracts in both eyes, but I still have too much self-respect to to mix with colored people in a public place. George Skaggs, Lower Marlboro, Maryland.
Dear Mr. President, as a lifelong Southerner, I wish to express to you my deep gratification over the momentous decision on segregation rendered yesterday by the Supreme Court, and for inviting the South itself to help in charting a course of orderly transition. Respectfully yours, Josephine Wilkins.
July 13, 1954. Sir, I am a true, loyal, red-blooded American citizen. Love my God and country and fellow man enough to fight for it again to keep Negroes and whites in their places. I am not a Negro fighter, as a Negro has a soul the same as anyone else. But if God had intended for us to live with them, he would have made them all white or all of us black. May God have mercy on the leaders of our nation. Z.T. Duncan, Tampa, Florida. A true red-blooded American Christian Southern citizen.
Dear Sir, the recent victory of declaring the act of segregation illegal by the nation's highest court has brought joy to millions of your fellow countrymen. Many think this is a great victory for our Negro leaders and associates, but I think the great victory belongs to America itself. It proves to everyone that democracy is a vital force in our nation's affairs. I'm sure the Negro soldiers of our wars, especially the deceased, who fought and died under your command, will declare that you, their great commander-in-chief, is worthy of all the praises that can be bestowed on anyone. Yours respectfully, sir, Robert D. Pittman, Jr., Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Dear Mr. President, I am a University of Tennessee student and will be 21 in 2 weeks. I am very upset over this segregation question, as are my sorority sisters and many, many other students to whom I have talked. We are sick and tired of this horrible mess some people in Washington are making of our country. Don't you understand? The races cannot be mixed and have anything good come of it. I consider myself a good Christian girl. I believe in being good to the Negroes. Most Southerners do. We have a Negro maid who has been with us since I was 2 years old. We've always been extra good to her. How do you think she repays us? She steals money, steals food. She gets angry and sasses us all, and deliberately breaks something, usually an irreplaceable antique. She just told us she wasn't going to work on Sunday anymore. Now what do you think of that, Mr. President? Sincerely, Margaret Trotter, Redfield, Arkansas.
Honorable President Dwight D. Eisenhower, the White House, Washington, D.C. Dear Mr. President, I'm a Democrat, and I never thought I'd be writing to a Republican president to congratulate him on passing the anti-segregation laws in the schools. I'm of the white race, and I have 4 growing children. It's been extremely difficult for me to raise my children to be unbiased when I live in a community where there's segregation in the schools. I only wish that this had happened before they were born, so they could see what democracy really should be like. Mercedes J. Phillips, Catonsville, 28, Maryland.
May 19, 1954. My dear Mrs. Eisenhower, it is not the colored people themselves that the Southern white people object to. It is their terrible low moral standard and their extremely high disease rate and filth. As you know, if you have ever lived in the South among the colored race here or had time to look up any statistics on the matter, there are almost no Negroes without a venereal disease, head lice, itch, ringworm, and other troubles which result directly from carelessness, filth, and low morals. Very sincerely, and may God bless you and help you with the many problems you face as our First Lady, Mrs. Anita Cleveland.
Dear Mr. President, congratulations on one more step toward communism or fascism and a godless era. Grace Lumpkin.
June 2, 1954. Mr. Dwight D. Eisenhower, President of the United States. Dear Sir, I would like to congratulate you on your success in passing the law about Negroes going to public schools. I would like to know if there is any difference between the white race and the Negro race, and why some parents disagree with having white and Negro children go to school together. Respectfully, Sarah Jane Godwin, age 10, Burbank, California.
letters to President Eisenhower, written in the days and weeks after the Supreme Court's 1954 ruling in Brown v. Board of Education. You can hear more of the letters and other stories on the legacy of the Brown decision at our website, npr.org.